listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 30th. I can't believe it already. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, Michael. Glad to be here. It is the end of March already. Ooh, and I saw a meme the other day. April Fool's was canceled because of all the stuff that's going on. Nobody believed it anyway.
Well, I feel like the opposite. I mean, you could pretty much say anything. I'm like, yeah, that's probably true. I'd buy it.
I'll go
with it. Thanks to everybody that takes the time to join us live and catches up with us in chat, and thanks to those that catch up with us in the archives. We appreciate you taking the time out of your week to join us and hopefully get a little something to take away. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, it's been a big mystery, you know, kind of what are we going to dive into? And that led to a fun and fantastic conversation before the broadcast with Dr. Vicki about all the potential, you know, things that are kind of going on out there. And I kind of think we kind of zeroed in on a little something here. And Dr. Vicki, do you want to get us started on what you were thinking?
Well, you know, let me preface this by saying 2 things. Number one, as metaphysicians or people who pursue metaphysics, we encounter all kinds of people with all kinds of thoughts and beliefs. So, and some of them can seem far out, but maybe not. You know, we just never know. The other point to make here is everyone lives in their own reality. We were talking about that in recent programs. You know, reality is a subjective experience, and certainly it is what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something to be said also for being cautious of that I'm special syndrome, or I need to feel special, or I need to feel important. And this is where we can go a little off the rails, I think.
Yeah.
And actually, for those who are listening, this is not the first time I've had an email like the one I'm about to tell you about. Over the years, I've encountered all kinds of folks with all kinds of beliefs. And look, in some ways they're sincere, and the other ways you think, is this spam? You know,
she's talking about me.
So I'll just tell you, I get this email today with the subject matter quantum energy healing, which we know are my courses on IMHS and TFU. And it says, hey, Vicki, I'm trying to remember my own energy healing powers. I know I was the goddess Auset in a past life in Kemet and Amaru Khan. If you would do an Akashic Records reading on me to see more of who I've been, et cetera, et cetera. So she gives me a lot of her particulars, and she said, "I hope you want to help me and aren't some type of agent from the Matrix just messing around." That's not quite what she wrote, but that's what I'm going to say on air. "I just want to learn how to perform quantum energy healing and metaphysical parenting. I'm trying to have a magical child with my holy guardian angel, Jove on Virginie Scott, a.k.a. Badmon, who's a rapper, for those who don't know. And you can Google him real quick and check out his video. Hope to talk to you about classes soon. I'm really excited to unlock my energy healing powers." Well, if somebody writes to me and says, "This is who I was in a past life," yeah, okay. You know, I go with it, because what do I know?
It's unverifiable. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, and I'm good with that, but when you're trying to have a magical child with a holy guardian angel,
you know, and,
who's a rapper.
Well, and up until you had mentioned that part, like, oh, you can check him out, I thought, oh, that's a made up, that's a spirit thing, right? That's like a like a non-corporeal, like a non-physical entity, right? Oh, no, you can find him on YouTube. Oh, okay, I get it now. By the way, any mentions on the Spirit of Life do not constitute a endorsement by the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism.
Exactly. Disclaimer. So, but and this is what I mean by it. It goes a little off the rails, and
as I said before, there's nothing to say that she's not right about everything. But
maybe
just because something is possible doesn't make it so. In the broad sense that really only, you know, for all I know, everybody but me is some kind of, you know, program of the Matrix. And the only reason I know that is because I think, therefore, I am. But then again, maybe I'm a program. But doesn't that make me a living program? Doesn't that make me self-aware? All right, now we have a whole rabbit hole to go down.
See, I love the way your mind thinks, Michael. I do. I appreciate you so much. But, you know, here's the thing. We're always encountering folks who are, let's just say nicely, different than us and see things differently than us. And how do you manage that? Well, first of all, I'm not going to respond. I've already talked to Dr. Kelly about this because it came through the school, and we'll leave it at that. So I'm not going to respond to this particular email. I'll just pretend it went to my junk file and, oh, it got lost. So there. But I kid you not, I've encountered a lot of people who have said similar things to me in the past. And how do we deal with that? Well, knowing, first of all, somebody wants to be validated. Mm-hmm. They have the need to be validated. They have the, you know, this, which I think all human beings want at some core level. But when you want to isolate yourself into being special and wanting special treatment, there's something deeper going on. And we can't, as spiritual counselors, metaphysicians, and so on, you can't help everybody. You know,
no.
We have to know where our boundaries are and how we also want to manage our own lives. So that's kind of where I want to go with that.
Well, we're all trying to find our truth, and you had made a comment to this earlier before the live broadcast where, you know, we each have our own truth. We each have our own reality. We each have our own existence. And, you know, I'll say it more in a literary way, we're all the protagonist of our own story.
Yep.
And so there's a uniqueness in that. You know, nobody else has our perspective. They have a similar one. They might have one that matches in a lot of ways, but they don't have yours. And no matter what, you always have that, you know, uniqueness, that specialness, regardless of whether you're a, you know, magic baby child or indigo child or anything like that. It doesn't, you know, it, if it matters to you, great, you know, and if it brings you something, fine. But ultimately, we're just here to experience life, and we're here to do the best we can, regardless of whether you're an indigo child or not. So, you know, it just makes me think of the Buddha saying, it doesn't matter where we came from. Before, it doesn't really matter what comes after, per se. What matters is this life, how we live it.
Well, you know, again, taking our thinking a little further, though, if we have a curious mind, you know, people wanting or trying to identify their children, for instance, as, oh, I have a star child, I have an indigo child, you know, meaning, apparently, that this is a very insightful, intuitive, you know, something special child, and they need special attention. Well, I'm of the mind, I say, well, if this child needs attention, a certain kind of attention, then you have to seek out how to do that or open your mind to learn, because who's raising them? Because you aren't indigo people raising indigo babies. So, you know, and then, because that's where people go off on tangents, you know, assuming a lot of things, when to me, kids are just kids and they're individuals. And as you said, Michael, unique. And you just raise children to be the human adults you want, you know.
And you know, I think the kind of golden rule, you know, to teach them to, well, I'll kind of, you know, the golden rule, I guess, is to treat others how you want to be treated. But I say let's superimpose it with, you know, do no harm and do right, to be a force of good in this world. And I know that that definition changes from perspective to perspective. And we have to do the best we can. I know that you would think that most people out there want to do good. And I believe that a lot of people that do bad justify it by saying that, you know, it's the way that the world is in some ways of, you know, cruelty, and it's just the way things are, and that's how you have to, you know, dog eat dog, you have to fight to make it, and you have to be aggressive, and you have to be cruel, and you have to be, you know, step on others, and no, you don't. The only reason that that paradigm exists is because people choose for it to exist. It is a construct. It is, like everything else, it's created as a system of behavior.
Well, I think what we all have to keep in mind in that do no harm and do right is to also think about where we're imposing a them esteem, because it all ties in together. It's a wonderful harmony if you think about it. You know, as Dr. Kelly would say, that them esteem, well, that comes from also there's this need to be special, and I'm going to feel special if you think I'm special. And then people get very upset when you don't agree with them because they need to feel special. And then we're getting into the harm, you know, and inadvertently I think people are creating harm to need to feel special, because it's like they have to fight for that. You don't have to fight for it, you just be it, live it, do it, and just be you, with an understanding of how we also need to coexist with differing opinions and different realities, and find that, you know, that coexistence, it's such a wonderful word, you know, to coexist. But all these other, I think I kind of see it as, you know, little viruses in our thinking. And we're all contaminated in some way, that we have to deprogram ourselves and reinstall new software in our thinking.
And that's a good way to put it.
And say this young girl, in her reality, that's absolutely truthful. It's written with assumption, and I can sense the fear in there, because she wants me, you know, wants some kind of a positive reaction. She's imposing that on me to say, hope you're not some crazy thing on the Matrix. And I'm going, what? You know?
Yeah.
And so there's that passive aggressive kind of implication in there. Well, and those are the things, lots of people do that. It's not isolated to me picking on this one. It just happened.
And
that was the most recent
year. It's kind of, you know, an assumption that, you know, if you disagree with my worldview, you are not correct, and you might not even be real. And there, you know, the elder, Dr. Kelly, my father, he doesn't like this term, humility. And it's just because he ties it more into, you know, the old ideas of Christian dogmatic meekness and things like that, and kind of, you know, humbleness before God and that kind of thing, as opposed to standing on your own 2 feet. And da, 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 da. But I do think there needs to be a little bit of, you have to know that you could be wrong, and you have to accept that you could be wrong. And that doesn't mean you can't believe in what you want to believe in, and I do. There are things that I believe to be true, but I also know that maybe, just maybe, I'm wrong. You know, and it's a possibility that none of us can deny, because we can all look at others and we can see from our perspective that they're, from our perspective, objectively wrong. But in their mind, they're 100% right. So,
well,
why can't the reverse be true?
True. Absolutely. You know, Ronnie in the chat is saying we all need to feel significant, and we can do interesting things when seeking to have that need met.
That's true.
It's true.
Absolutely.
Very true.
In a good way and a bad way, but and I I think absolutely well said. But, you know, it makes me think of this quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Someone once said, "Don't try to be a great person, just be a person, and let history decide." And that person was Zefram Cochrane from Star Trek.
Of course, I'm a Star Trekkie. We all know that, too.
Yep.
You know, Dr. Mike is... Sorry, Dr. Mike is tongue-in-cheek saying, well, for all the people in the world that think they're perfect, only pee off those of us that are.
I'm telling you, you know, it's like they don't realize that only I'm the special one on this planet, because if everybody else is special, it somehow denigrates my specialness.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm sorry, guys. I claim it. I called it. I got dibs. I'm the special
okay.
one.
Look, I hope everybody understands that we like to have a sense of humor here, too. And even in the archives, if you're listening and haven't been able to tune in live, to also see the chat going on, and that we have to take some of these subjects and lighten them up in a way that doesn't focus so much on the negative of it, but to be able to explore the learning of it in a good way. And that's Michael and I, you know, we kind of evolved into that too. Lots of things in life are serious. You know, very easy to pass off an email like, well, that goes off the rails, a nutcase. But we can also just have a good discussion and say, what's the best way to manage this and then lighten it up, you know?
And to be fair, I never said or used a synonym for nutcase.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I didn't, just, you know, for the record. Another disclaimer out there.
Dr. Raven's saying, using humor in heavy topics creates a sort of needed balance. And thanks for saying that, Raven, because that's true. And again, I say this, if I can contaminate people in some way, is to lighten up. And for the grace of age, I have been a very serious individual most of my life, even though I always think I have a funny, nice, dry sense of humor at times. But it's learning to lighten up. You know, I have my other daughter is up here visiting, so it's just been a great week. Having two daughters and myself sharing some time together. And part of our discussions is, you know, Mom, you know, you used to be really serious and, you know, getting things done. And they're recognizing things in themselves that are similar to me. And I said, well, you got a lot of habits by osmosis. You know, it's, I had a lot to do. And they appreciate that, well, you were a single mom, you had a lot to do, but now you're very different. You've changed in the last 15, 20 years. I said, of course. You know, because I don't have kids to run home to and, you know, get to the dentist or the doctor and the teacher meeting and making sure there's milk in the fridge and also work. And, you know, I mean, it's young families nowadays, whew, you know, my heart goes out to them. So having that kind of dialogue, but in a light, good way, and that's where I've appreciated as I get older. If somebody could have inserted some of that more lightheartedness into me when I was younger, or, you know, kind of inserted that, you know, take a more humorous thing, like humor is good and laughter is good. We did a lot of laughing, don't get me wrong, but I took life too seriously.
Yeah.
And that's my point. And taking it seriously is, it's a lot of stress. So... You know
what I'm saying. I don't remember who to attribute this to, but someone said, and you may know, Dr. Vicky, if you take life too seriously, you won't make it out alive. And it's a great statement. And Eileen also said in chat, we can't take ourselves so seriously that we back ourselves into a corner. That's another great one, too, because if you overamp on the reality of a situation, perhaps, by taking things too seriously, by, you know, upsetting the balance, you create, you know, an idea in your head that might not be true. And at this point, I'm speaking for myself in the sense that I can make, you know, potential mountains out of molehills and things like that. And I think of a problem might be a huge, you know, problem and turns out to be nothing. And I think that if you you take things too seriously to a degree, you can, you know, create problems. You can create things to respond to, and you you can kind of mess things up, like, you know, the old adage, if you just got out of your own way, kind of thing.
Well, I think metaphysics in and of itself, and any kind of spirituality, has a stereotyped impression that it's very serious. You know, that it's investigative, it's serious in everything you read, and, you know, so if you're lighthearted and or a little bit comedic, well, you can't really be spiritual, you know? Or if you get frustrated or a little angry, well, you're not really spiritual. Well, you know, I've had people tell me, I thought you would be vegetarian. I go, what? What made you think that?
I'm sorry, but Lenny Bruce is my spirit guide, so you know, you can take that as you will. I mean, some people have monks, I have Lenny Bruce.
So there's this, all these stereotypes, and I think that's where a lot of people go off on tangents, because they, if they, not all, let's say, Buddhist monks are really serious and dedicated. Some are very, and, you know, the Dalai Lama, for one thing, he loves humor.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of yogis that, oh man, you see a few on YouTube, man, they're hilarious. And it's to lighten things up. However, in mainstream, in our mainstream societies, spirituality is taken as a matter of a serious business. So they expect a certain behavior, they expect a certain attitude. And when you deviate from that at all, then you're not really one of us, whatever us is. You know. So it's, again, for somebody like me, not everybody is, I'm not for everybody, let's say, and they're not all for me, whether it's my clients, you know, or people. But that goes with anything, whether it's you're finding a doctor, you're finding a lawyer, you're finding a dentist, you got to find somebody who fits for you. And I mean, I wish this other girl well and finding somebody who will help her with her, you know, activating all her healing energy stuff, and that she can somehow conjure up this magical child with this rapper. I don't know, but it's, again, I just light on it.
You know, and it's not for us to decide. Everybody is in charge of their own path and their life. It's their life. It's their existence. Everybody gets one shot. And, you know, I'm about to break into an Eminem verse. But anyway, everybody gets just that one, you know, opportunity at life and existence. And, you know, you have the freedom to run it as you see fit within the bounds of what you know to be possible and the bounds of your society and the, you know, socioeconomic conditions that you're, you know, spawned into in this world. Yeah. I mean, all of it has a tinge and effect, but, you know, you'd be surprised what becomes possible when you expand your mind. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before the broadcast, whether sentience or sentience, depending on which English speaking country you're in, that it, you know, it almost seems like a byproduct of being self-aware, and being self-aware in a world and a universe with many things that are self-aware, that, you know, kind of pushing you to want your story to be different, to be unique, yeah, to be powerful and special, you know, to be a cut above the rest. And I think one of the things that terrifies people about the idea of intelligent life out in the universe more than anything else is it makes them that much less unique, because they can, exactly.
And taking it down to a fundamental level, Michael, a lot of folks I have worked with over the years, and I'll say this for sure about women, this is my large experiences with women, it's hard to let go of that dysfunctional relationship and wanting to know that you were in some way special to him. Did I have impact? Or was I just another, you know, cow in the herd, you know? Or was I special? And that need to feel significant is, it can be quite obsessive. It's very difficult to let go of what we eventually learn is it is what it is in its own experience. We each have our own version of what special is. We each have our own version of what love is. Yes, but did he love me? Did he really love me? Well, people love in whatever way they even interpret love, you know?
Yeah.
And everything is a measure of love. It's just maybe not our interpretation or what our expectations of that would be. You know, so that need to be special is huge.
Yeah, and it's pervasive. And it's not unique to any one culture or any one place. It is a fundamental part of the human experience, of human existence. You know, it breeds that competitiveness in us, too. I think, part of that competitiveness. So maybe it's not tied to sentience in itself. Maybe it's tied to being the human animal that we want. We're constantly kind of comparing and competing with one another, and we're jockeying for position in a hierarchical society.
I think that, in my view, this just, I think that we seek a meaning in life in the, from a reverse position of what makes better sense to me. If we remind ourselves that we are spirit visiting a body, and we are learning to be human, and we are learning to become better humans, it makes life a little easier to manage and sometimes even tolerate. And I think our pain thresholds go up a little, you know, and our ability to enjoy things goes up, you know, as I see it. But when you're a human aspiring to be spiritual, there's very often a disconnect from what we assume spiritual is and how we're behaving, and we don't connect the two. See, somebody who claims to be spiritual, who's totally dysfunctional, you know, that ain't working for me. But if you come from that place of, we're all, as you said, Michael, that sentient, you know, spiritual beings, a consciousness, it's housed temporarily in this organic form with, you know, a mind. And to me, the mind is the whole thing. But there's that brain that is in all these electrodes. It's really, human body's a fascinating machine, totally fascinating. But it's all connected, and our spirit is joined with that. And I can generally look at somebody and see that their spirit is weak, meaning that their spirit isn't able to participate in the ways it would like to. The intellect, the mentality, the emotions, is out of control. But when you see somebody who's totally grounded, who's in the center of themselves, who's balanced, it's just a joyful experience for me to meet somebody or see somebody who knows who they are, you know.
And yeah.
There's less dysfunction, and there's always an interest in something. And it's fascinating. It's wonderful because they're actually living a life.
And, you know, it is interesting. It's inspiring, and it's, you know, kind of invigorating, and they have a certain magnetism about them. But I will say this. Be wary of who you think, you know, knows who they are. I will use an example of my own experience. I met a person, great guy. But the first vibe I got was that this guy really knows who he is. He knows what he wants in life. He's living it. He's doing everything he wants. He's living the exact kind of life he wants. And I was really impressed by that. And as our friendship developed, I realized that, oh, wait, no, that's a lot more complex than that. And you know, that kind of, you know, that,
you know,
kind of,
Michael,
confidence. Go ahead.
But if I can just insert here, I think that's because you may have seen some of his insecurities and his complexities, because we all have them.
Mm-hmm.
We all have little nuances in ourselves, in our constructs, that are still figuring it out. And those insecurities make people appear. It's that thread in that blanket that I referred to in other programs, is that one little thread can suddenly be a neon light, and it suddenly dulls your impression of somebody.
Well, it brings them down to earth. You're like, oh, yeah. Okay. You're more relatable than I initially realized. You know, it's
exactly.
And that's why I will say, you know, everybody looks at me and they're like, hey, you know, he's got his life together. He's brilliant. He obviously is doing everything right. But, you know, sometimes from my perspective, it's hard. Days are rough. Obviously, I'm joking. But, yeah. You know, it's rough for everybody out there. We all have our, you know, crosses to bear, to borrow analogy, metaphor.
And that's what I mean. Everyone has something they're working on. That I guess the simplest word is to say an insecurity or an emotion or,
baggage.
Well, I think that it's in our reconstructions of ourselves that is still, you know, when you're condensing the hard drive and trying to sort it out and it's finding its filing systems. And sometimes things just kind of jump out of nowhere. You know, it wasn't too many days ago. I woke up in the morning and I felt sad. I don't know why I felt sad. But all day, I went through the whole day feeling sad. I have nothing to feel sad about.
Call that a weekday.
And I know that's true. But it was, and it kind of, you know, the ebbs and tides of the day. And I said, you know, I just got to roll with it. I have no idea what this is about. But I think occasionally emotions catch up with us and they need that moment to sort through, and so I just go with that. We all have that, those kinds of experiences. We're not always on our game, and that's where I say we can, you know, we have to look at those things like, is this just a hard day, is this something else, or do I have an issue I need to look at? And it's you know, and where is it that I'm, am I doing harm? Am I doing the right thing? And am I living on a bit of them esteem here? And Dr. Mike says, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way.
Oh, don't I feel that pain?
There you
go. Lordy Lord.
You know, but that is perfection. You know, what Dr. Kelly says, and of course it's in the inner oracle cards, it's number one about being perfect. You are perfection in process. Everything in this moment is perfect. And when you see it that way, understand that that process is its own perfection. Whew, okay, I can roll with this. I can go with it. It's something to think about, something to work with, and to keep growing.
And perfection is such a tricky thing. I mean, what is perfect? Perfect changes from moment to moment, to day to day, from perspective to perspective. From even one perspective, perfection changes. You can attain what you thought was a perfect situation, but something about time and something about stagnation changes what perfection is.
Well, Dr. Raven says in the chat too, she says, I'm perfectly me. And that's the point, Raven, is we are each perfectly ourselves in our own journey. So if we're going a little bit off the rails, we hope that there's somebody close to us we trust who says, you're going a little off the rails here. I want you to reel it in a little bit and about that.
You know, if you don't have somebody there to reel you in, to let you know when you're going crazy, you start doing all kinds of wild stuff, you invade neighboring countries, you put the world on terror, it's all kinds of craziness that happens after that. But, you know, it's...
And we have to think, too, that people can have medical issues. I was very sad to read today that Bruce Willis has aphasia,
which is a certain amount of
brain damage, which translates to verbal complications. And thinking that, you know, thankfully he has a good support system and good family access to good medical care. You know, if he's talking in certain sentences and you don't know him, you would think he's a little bit off the rails, I'm sure. You know, and so this is where we have to think about people going through their stuff. It could be medical issues, it could be emotional issues, there could be, you know, there's lots of reasons for people to behave in certain ways. Trauma is a good one, you know, getting over trauma where emotions are kind of all packed in a little box in their heart. And it explodes from time to time. But support systems and you know, helping each other out and having a little compassion is really important. You know, it's we're all in this together.
We are, guys. And compassion is a give and take. You know, we show compassion not only because it's simply the right thing to do, and that should be the primary reason, but also because you hope that one day somebody will show compassion towards you.
Exactly.
You know, so it's a give and take. Like you said, we're all in this together. No one is an island.
But. Well, and on that note, we're going to hang out together here pulling some cards, Michael.
Absolutely.
It's that time.
It has. It's gone by. It's a little past that time, actually. We've had a good chat.
It is a good chat. You know, and that's the thing, everybody. It's, you know, we have to check in with ourselves, but also as metaphysicians, you're always going to encounter people who are having those other issues. And it's the patients knowing when to walk away, knowing when to have a conversation, knowing how much of a conversation. And choosing words is often really tricky, but, you know, it's doing that too, being sensitive to what words somebody might not resonate with them, so use your intuition, you know. All right, so I think we better get to it. There's some names coming up like crazy here, Michael. What have you got for Dr. Mike?
All right. Dr. Mike, I have, let's see, number 11, awareness.
Right.
All right, and the existential suit. All right, number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude. Good card.
It is, especially when you have a support of the Fool. And don't take that the wrong way. I love the Fool. It's new beginnings, new adventures. So some new awakenings you've having, Dr. Mike, new thoughts, new ideas, and becoming adventurous. And it's you know, watch your timing. That's the only caution about the Fool, is that we don't like fall off the cliff, like go too far ahead of ourselves. So it's know intuitively when to take the next steps, because I think what I'm seeing here and what I sense is that all these new beginnings for you, and you're waking up to them and you're getting, you know, excited. So I think this is a really good time for you. I feel good. Something about this week is coming too. It's good news. All right. Oh, I think we have Ronnie next, Michael. Are you muted?
No, not muted. It's ridiculous. But for Ronnie, our next card, I have number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, opinions, and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found. Good card. I hope that resonates, and what a good card for tonight's discussion.
Well, I was just going to say, when you have the High Priestess there, that's really in keeping what we've been talking about tonight, Ronnie. It's insights, intuition, and keeping it grounded so that you stay in kind of intact, not to go off the rails. Not that you would. I'm just saying that staying grounded and having new ideas coming into you as opposed to going out to the ideas and altering who you are. Wow, that was... Mm. I got some spirit talking through me, because I would not have said it that way. That's a good visual on my end. So when you get an idea, don't go to the idea. Let the idea come to you. Otherwise, we lose who we are. Try to become that. So I hope that makes sense to you, Ronnie, in some way.
All right. You know, I don't know how well I'm shuffling these, because I was absentmindedly shuffling them, and then I pulled the top card off, and it's groundedness again, but I'm just going to go ahead and move past that. And I have number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness. Good card. Hope that connects. And you can take groundedness as well, Charles, if you like. I think that was randomly shuffled, but yeah.
I think there's a partnership there. And with the Ten of Diamonds in support of that, Charles, entrepreneurial, the marketplace, applying your knowledge, applying your skills, and but again, to stay grounded, use that self-mastery that you have. In other words, be you, be insightful, and enter the marketplace. That's what I want to say on that. There's some good stuff coming with money. You know, I don't like to sound hokey about it, but, you know, that's where I'm going.
Well, hey, good place to go. All right. We have Eileen. Eileen, I have wild card number 9, blank. Always a fun one. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers that you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Well, when you have the 9 of clubs with the blank card, it's what I want to say to that. See, I just have to gather my thought here, is a caution that you don't repeat a cycle. That's kind of, with a blank card, you can create anything. Watch for the cycles that repeat. So in that creation, that make sure that it's new, built on your good skills. You know, a lot of us have acquired skills to survive our life, but there's a point when we don't need those skills anymore. We have other skills developing. So the skills that you do have to survive are always there within you, but we just don't need to wear them. So we're now filing that and expanding ourselves. So that's what I want to say here, is expanding yourself and building more. And that's where you're going to, I see like wings, you're growing wings with that, Eileen. That's exciting.
That's very exciting. You know, for some reason, I was just kind of imagining filling a canvas. But I love it. All right. We have Dr. Raven next. And I have number 45, inspiration and motivation. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around them. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Well, you got the 2 of clubs here, Raven, and that means the energy is moving, in my view. So it's you can see a little movement, you can see in front of you, you can see the goal. So it's just that energy. 2, it's always about movement, right? And the worker bee, as I call 2s. And the clubs is change. So you're working toward that. So inspiration, motivation with that moving energy. It may not be at the rate that you want it to be, but it is absolutely moving forward. So keep it going, keep the momentum going, and it'll pick up more. So that's a good feel behind that.
I really like that. You just 1 foot in front of the other. You know, keep pushing forward. All right. We have Jamil next, and I have number 39, education. Let's see, number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good card, good card. And Sorry for any background noise. Apparently there's a stick in play between the two beasts.
They're having fun. Okay, Jamil, in support of education, I have the King of Clubs, and I like that. The King of Clubs is also insightful. He can see a little bit ahead. He's the overseer in that way. He likes change. He's a thinker, but he's also assertive without being aggressive. So I like it that you are rising into that King of Clubs. So in that part of yourself and becoming more creative, and perhaps it's just creative in how you manage life or how you're going about your day-to-day activities, you know, and applying yourself in new ways. So that's a very positive affirmation in my mind. So that's a good one.
All right. We have our card keeper, Wendy, next. And Wendy, a special, you know, thank you to you. You've been getting some love in the chat for helping us out in terms of, you know, the statistics, the probabilities, cards coming up and when they don't. And you deserve it. So special shout out to you, Wendy. And your card for tonight, number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Let's see. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Six of Diamonds, or the Six of Pentacles. Coming and going of money, discussion about money, insight and wisdom. Now, you might be negotiating or coming up to negotiating your own contract, maybe a raise, a promotion, you know what I mean, the agreement between you and your employer, or you're speaking on behalf of others to your employer. You could be the mediary in some way. So you're having to use that creative insightfulness of, again, knowing how to present, deliver, and coming up with a negotiation of sorts. Boy, I hope that makes sense to you, Wendy. But that's how I'm interpreting what that's just come up with. Just popped in my head.
What's the best ones? You got to go with it.
Go with it. Audra.
All right. And Audra, I think, is our final card of the evening. So if we missed you, let me know. Audra, I have number 42, Trust and Integrity. All right. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
You know, Audra, I drew out the Ten of Spades for you, and I said, what is that? And then it was the Tower. So I said, okay, there is something definitely needing to be said here. You could have a moment of feeling grief, but the Tower totally says that you have a foundation to grow from, so you're okay. Just let me say that. The trust and integrity is to have that faith and trust that there is something behind this. There is something else coming. You might not have it in your hand today, but also, more importantly, at the moment, there could be some disappointment, a moment of grieving, or, you know, where there's a change. You know, when you have to say goodbye to things, which we know you're in the middle of changes anyway, Audra, but it's just something very internal, and that it's not necessarily making sense to you for a minute, but it will. But I want to promise you, Audra, I have no doubt in my mind that the universe is on your side and you are on your frequency, and what's coming next is bigger, more greater. So you're going to be okay, totally okay. It's just that moment where, you know, you get a little worried, or it's unnerving, or feeling like your feet aren't on the ground because you don't know. So you just throw it to the universe, be very clear and like, okay, put me on my frequency and get that energy moving. And when you blast that out there, whew, you know, okay, it starts to move again, kind of like the wind. So that's what I want to say to that. I'd like to say I appreciate the feedback in the chat. There was one thing when I think it was Charles who went, Now, we had picked out self-mastery in the Ten of Diamonds for Charles, and maybe just to add something to that, I think it could have something to do with investments. So investments are where to put money also, Charles. So I hope that helps out a little bit. Anyway, what else have we got here in the chat, Michael? No matches today, Wendy says. I kind of like that, where we're not getting matches, you know, repeated energies. That says to me that some things have moved forward, you know, and changing. I think that's good.
And she also pointed out that, at least not for the same people, but, you know, we do see some of the same cards come up quite often, so it could mean that there is a similarity in need, or a similarity in where we're at. We're all on kind of a similar vibe from that, you know, collective consciousness. It's always very interesting. And you can take almost any perspective with it. But yeah, good conversation tonight. You know, I think it, from kind of wondering, you know, what kind of metaphysical topics are we going to tackle, to diving into this, you know, wonderful discussion. It always just reminds me that there's always something interesting that you can find, that you can delve into, you know, when we pick up on these, you know, subjects of what it is to be aware, what it is to be the human animal in this world. There's no end to the discussion. There's such layering and complexity, and, you know, what is the soul? What is existence? You know, how are we more than the sum of our parts? What does it mean to be human? And all of these things have multiple answers, not just one answer. So it's just fascinating discussion. Thank you, Dr. Vicky.
Well, it always is, Michael. I was asked, when I first started as a professional writer, I was writing for a newspaper, and I had pitched an idea, and they said, well, do you think you can get, you know, a weekly column out of that and fill up a year? And I said, well, there's, you know, copious magazines and books and everything out there. I'm sure I could. Well, I did happen to go on for 10 years there. And it's like, here, Michael, we could never run out of topics, you know, and subjects. We could never stop talking. What is required, I think, in the longevity is keeping up our enthusiasm and always keeping up our own motivation. But that's life. You know, life is like that. Life can, you know, feel tedious at times. You say, another day, you know, another program. But it is keeping that interest and keeping engaged and participating. And once we, just even those trigger words, kind of like self-hypnosis, trigger words say, no, I got this. So I want to remind everybody that no matter what's going on out there in your life today, you got this. You got this. I got this. You got this, Michael.
Well,
you got this.
Well, thank you, and you got this.
I do.
We all got this.
Maybe.
No. If I got this, then you got this.
I got this.
But, you know, and belief is a powerful thing. You believe that you've got control of the situation. Odds are pretty good that you will. And we all got this. We're all in this. We're all going to make it out. And I think we can all agree to one thing. Don't take yourself too seriously. And don't take anything too seriously. It's not worth it. Any last thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
No, it's always good to be here, Michael. I am so glad to have my daughters together here tonight. Every Wednesday, it's a family thing, and now my grandkids are involved. We have a kind of a thing going on with Survivor, so we all have our picks, so we do a pool. And not that any big deal at the end of the year and end of the season, but we have a great amount of fun. So I suggest everybody find creative things to do with your family. It really does add something. It keeps you connected, like for us doing Survivor. So thankfully, after this program, I'm headed over. I'm going to, you know, watch Survivor and get all of our little charts out and pick on each other, who's more intuitive or not, and who's out, who got reward, who got immunity. And, you know, of course, every week I say, nobody's put up a teepee yet. Why don't they have a teepee? So engage with each other is what I'm trying to say. So if I can leave, of course, I thought I had a last commentary a minute ago, Michael. I guess I have another one. And stay connected, everybody. Stay connected.
Mm. That's a good message to go out on. Stay connected. We're all, you know, in this together. And just live your best life. So with that, we look forward to having everybody join us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.